heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. I also write for Breaking Football and contribute to Grandstand Sports Network. I am here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak. You can find him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. He also does work for Bleeding Green Nation and Pro Football Spot. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Oh, basking in the glow of a preseason game, Mike. Nothing more fun than watching Eagle football. How you feeling?
I feel fantastic, man. We are recording this right after the game, so if you're listening to this at 8 a.m., we are fresh off the buzz, and we are ready to talk some preseason football. We got a W, man. Not that it means anything, but a big 20-16 win over the Buffalo Bills.
Not that it means anything. I was on the edge of my seat, the Mitchell White interception to seal it. It'll go down as a classic, Mike. Come on now.
I completely missed that last one. I was looking at the stats, and I'm like, where did Mitchell White get a pick? And I realized I was actually setting up for this show when it happened. Yeah, so, man, let's dig right into it. We're going to talk Wentz, obviously, right out the gate. 6 for 9, 50-plus yards. I saw on Twitter people were saying that he sailed a couple passes. One was a throwaway, no big deal. Other than that, what did you see from Wentz?
The first thing I liked that I saw from Wentz right away was that ability to create, and we saw it show up a lot of times, a lot of the highlights that won. Hugh Sproles touchdown against the Steelers. You know, that one awesome clip of him ducking under that Giants rusher. You know, he has the ability to create inside the pocket. He has the ability to extend plays, keeping his eyes down the field. He's got poise, is the short way of saying it. He's got poise. And there were more than a few plays where Wentz was operating outside of the pocket, where he was moving defenders with his eyes. He was responding to the rush. Obviously, Jason Peters not playing today, put Lane Johnson on the left-hand side, and we'll talk about that in a second. But that one play to Blunt really sticks out in my mind, where Wentz was moving outside the pocket, moved Blunt to space by drawing in the linebacker, threw it to Blunt, Blunt created afterwards. Just love Wentz's ability to make something out of nothing, which hopefully he has to do less of that this year because he's got more weapons to work with. But we saw it featured today, and it's always fun to see.
You never want to overhype preseason production too much, but if you're on Twitter and you see the Twitter timeline right now and you look at all the Blake Bortles tweets about how he's performing in preseason,
Lord have mercy.
Some of the funniest stuff you'll see. So I'm glad we don't have to deal with any of that this time of year. We are going to move right on to our new acquisition, number 35, Ronald Darby.
35.
Had a pick, could have had two. I really like what I saw from him, man. The first one, he was playing outside leverage on an out route. I like how wide he got. Some guys play that a little bit too narrow when they're setting up, and it just makes that wide receiver kind of elongate his route a little bit more, and he was able to create space for him to get in between the quarterback and the receiver and nearly pick one off. Couldn't quite do it, but then you saw him later on some fantastic man coverage, stack the wide receiver, get in position. Tyrod was under pressure all day from that defensive line.
All day.
Ended up making an errant throw and was able to get the pick and had a nice return, man. I was excited about that. What'd you think about Darby's play?
Oh, a ton of fun. And the most important thing you can see from Darby's play is what it allows Jim Schwartz to do schematically. And Schwartz coordinated that defense like a man unshackled. I mean, he was sending everybody and their mother after Tyrod Taylor. And the Bills weren't starting their regular left tackle. He was out injury, you know, week to week. And Tyrod, you know, doesn't have Sammy Watkins anymore. He doesn't have that one-on-one man coverage beater. You know, Zay Jones isn't that guy. Anquan Boldin maybe used to be that guy, but isn't anymore. They tried to get Charles Clay really involved, and he was relatively successful. But at the end of the day, Schwartz knew with his acquisition of Ronald Darby and with the wide receiver core of Buffalo, he could send people on every down. And even when he wasn't sending people, I thought Vinnie Curry looked great coming off the edge, generating pressure. Fletcher Cox took that poor right guard and sent him back to last week. I mean, that was an assault. It was unbelievable. Yeah. So what Ronald Darby allows you to do is he allows you to shut down the first read for the quarterback, which gives you that extra half second to either send rushers or generate pressure with your front four. And you saw the results of that. We had the Ronnie McLeod tip that became a Michael Kendricks pick. You know, Tyrod's trying to get that ball out early, but we're sending a safety blitz. Since when did the Eagles safety blitz? They got Ronald Darby.
Yeah, he was sending everybody. And that actually brings me to a topic I wanted to talk about you real quick with. You know, we've talked about Michael Kendricks and his trade value before and possibly shipping him off. We only blitzed him nine times last year. If we start blitzing like that, you know, start being more aggressive with our blitzing. That's what Michael Kendricks does well. I think I put it on Twitter that after his pick, where he was just standing there and was fortunate enough to get the batted ball from McLeod, you know, call Miami right now. Pick up the phones and make a trade because his stock's not going to get any higher. And he played well for the rest of the game. He snuffed out a screen and click and close and got there. And I thought he played well overall. And when you get him coming downhill on a pass, I think that's his big strength. So if you see more blitzing from Schwartz, do you believe that Kendricks is more of a fit and that we should kind of hang on to him considering the linebacker depth?
I definitely believe he's more of a fit. Whether or not you hang on to him, that's a different matter entirely. And, you know, the asking price for Kendricks has gotten lower and lower and lower the longer the Eagles have tried to trade him. And I don't think if the Eagles finally do get a partner for Kendricks, they're going to turn their nose up at it, especially because if memory serves, Kendricks' contract is either expiring at the end of this year or he's very easy to cut next year. Whatever it is, you know, the writing is on the wall for this to be Kendricks' last season as an Eagle. Now, if he stays for the season, Schwartz can blitz more and Kendricks carves himself out a niche role, then maybe they possibly look at keeping him next season. But I have to imagine that Kendricks is going to ask for more money. He's an ex-second round pick, and he does have a skill set. It just doesn't really fit in the sort of defense that Schwartz likes to run. If they can't find a trade partner for Kendricks, well, we saw today that at which he can be good. You know, like you said, flying downhill, generating pressure, and they'll manufacture plays where he gets to do that. They'll send him because he'll be on the roster, and he'll help the depth for sure. But even though, you know, maybe you're moving towards more blitzing now that you have Darby on the roster, I still think that if they find a partner for Kendricks, he's out of this building.
Yeah, I agree. And that's going to be the last time I ask you that question for a while because, I mean, the Kendricks trade rumors have been going on forever. And I think everyone's a little bit sick of it and want some kind of resolution. So you're either blitzing with him or you're not blitzing as much and you're moving on from him. And you may move on from him anyway. Now, I want to talk about the offensive tackle situation that we got going on. Lane Johnson kicked over to the left side because Jason Peters wasn't playing tonight, and that's what is supposed to be the future of our left tackle position. He did not play well. He could not block Jerry Hughes whatsoever. Hughes had his way with him every which way. That being said, I had touched on it last week with talking about the Cowboys and Lael Collins bumping out to right tackle and played left tackle on in college, played left guard. It's not an easy transition switching sides. Everything is reversed. Do you think we should be freaking out about Lane Johnson's future at left tackle already?
Freaking out? No. Because the reps he's gotten in practice hasn't been considerable at that position. And so I don't think that, you know, one preseason game in which Jason Peters was, I believe, attending a funeral is going to be, you know, it's going to be enough to kind of indict Lane Johnson's future at left tackle. It's not like Lane Johnson was up against some scrub. Jerry Hughes is a fantastic pass rusher who does not get enough love in this league, if you ask me. And I mean, Hughes was putting on a clinic of pass rush moves. The guy knows what he's doing. So Lane Johnson was up against some fierce competition at a position he doesn't normally play. What this does, where the conversation goes, is talking about, okay, if Lane Johnson is the future at left tackle, and like we were talking about in a previous pod, that means, you know, is Big V your future at right tackle? You have to recognize, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, that your tackle situation is more tenuous than it seems. When you've got Peters healthy on the left and Johnson healthy and unsuspended on the right, it's great. But after that, the depth drop off is staggering. It is not good. And so this is just another reminder that it might be easy to overlook, but you really have to be meticulous here. You have to check it out and say, okay, we need to make sure that we have a tackle plan for the future sooner rather than later.
And who knows with Big V, and I think we were talking about it on Twitter with someone earlier, you know, Dylan Gordon outplayed Matt Tobin, which I was not expecting a former tight end to do. So that looks bad. So, yeah, the depth is just not there, man. I thought Chance Warmack looked good in the few reps that I was really watching him. That Corey Clement.
That's better. Let's say better. Yeah. I'm not ready to throw such a strong positive adjective on Chance Warmack.
He did some good things, especially on the Corey Clement, the ultimate jag touchdown, where him and Wisniewski did a good job. So I'll give him that. I mean, he's with his former OL coach from Alabama, so hopefully he can get the best out of him. So, you know, let's talk about the running game, because to me, LeGarrette Blount looked like a guy that was running against hurricane winds.
Yeah.
Then you get Donnell Pumphrey in there, and I don't really think we're going to use him the way we used him tonight, because like you said, we're being real creative with him in training camp. And then it's super vanilla when we get into game time. So talk about Pumphrey, because people are starting to overreact on him, and I'm not freaking out about it, to be honest with you. So what do you think?
Right. There are two main things when I'm watching Pumphrey play that really make me disregard his preseason performance. I'm not too interested in it. Number one is that which you alluded to, the game planning, the manufactured touches. We heard so much about Pumphrey, the slot wide receiver at camp, and then I didn't see it at all tonight. I missed a little bit of the second and the third quarter, but you're seeing, we saw him take a fourth and one rep, for God's sakes. If they're ever putting Danelle Pumphrey in on fourth and one in the regular season, we are so far past the end of our rope. All hope is lost, right? They're not tipping their hand with Danelle Pumphrey yet and with what they have for him schematically. That's one half of it. The second half of it is recognizing that in both of these preseason games, Darren Sproles hasn't played. And a lot of what they want to do with Pumphrey, at least in his first year, as we've seen from training camp, is get him on the field at the same time as Sproles. And Pumphrey's ability, his effectiveness will be heightened because on defense, your matchup beater, the guy that you put on these tricky matchups, well, you have to choose between Sproles or Pumphrey. We're putting two of those guys out on the field. And so, that'll help Pumphrey out a lot. And we haven't seen Sproles in the preseason yet. And so we haven't seen the Sproles-Pumphrey package in this preseason yet. And that's where I believe both of those guys will be dangerous, especially Pumphrey because he is a rookie, because they're trying to ease him into the offense. And so I just caution you sincerely. No, of course, Danelle Pumphrey doesn't look fantastic on these inside zone runs. He never has and he never will, especially not at the NFL level. I'd love to reserve judgment on Pumphrey until we see the packages they use for Pumphrey in the regular season.
Yep, I am with you. And look, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get live tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to Week 5, Patriots versus Bucks down here in Tampa Bay. And SeatGeek is designed to make your buying experience easier than ever, and it was super easy for me. Saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Look, just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL. That's LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Ben, I want to talk with you about Derek Barnett, man.
Oh, yes, please. Click up that Derek Barnett sack counter. We've got three in two preseason games. Defensive Rookie of the Year, calling my shot.
All the SEC, Tennessee, Twitter guys saying that Barnett is a sack machine, man. Who knows? They might be right. I don't know about the tackles that he's gone up against, but there have been really encouraging signs. I mean, he did his trademark dip and rip to get to the quarterback on one of them and executed that brilliantly. We all know he can do that. That was never the issue. Last week, we saw him play against an overset, use an inside counter, use his hands well. He also hit that move a couple of times early in this game. So really encouraging signs from Barnett. How do you feel about him so far?
I mean, I feel fantastic. We're looking at one sack, one tackle for loss, and two QB hits here on the day for Buffalo. Two QB hits, only second to Steven Means is three. I only bring that up because I want to profess my love for Steven Means. I love Steven Means. But Derek Barnett, no, we've seen from Derek Barnett that which we hoped to see from him in the preseason, which is his very high floor. He's somebody who can come in as part of the rotation, generate pressure, give offensive tackles fits by his ability to get around the corner. He will cause problems. He'll be disruptive. That was never, we never denied that. And both you and I were a little bit tepid on the Barnett pick, and we had him a little bit more of a second round sort of guy. Am I convinced after two preseason games that Barnett's going to live up to his 14th overall draft selection? Heck to the no. Not even close. But what we're seeing from Barnett right now is that very high floor that he has, that he'll come in and he'll produce. He'll be part of the rotation from day one, from week one. And that's fantastic for your round one rookie. I love that. You're also seeing a little bit of the coaching. You're seeing him make some inside moves and recognize when a tackle oversets in a way that you wanted him to do so badly in college and he often struggled to do. And so seeing that is great. That's a great blessing. And we should as he grows throughout the year, if we continue to see that, that bodes very well for his future down the road as an Eagle.
Yeah, I can't really doubt the guy right now. He's shown nothing but good signs. I mean, obviously, it's just preseason. That's the theme of the day. But at the end of the day as well, I mean, you wanted to see him take those steps in his development and those techniques and utilize those things that he never did in college for the most part. And he's been doing it. So at the very least, he seems very coachable. And with the motor that he has, I don't know if you saw the play where he tracked the quarterback down from across the field.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the motor was never the issue. Mm-hmm. His motor is fantastic. That guy, and he's also an absolute gamer as well. So,
and at the end of the day, with the first two preseason games, taking them for what they're worth, whether or not it makes him, you know, it means he's going to have a good career or not, you know, who knows? You can't tell. But it's not like it's going to hurt. It's not like, you know, having your first round defensive end come in and get three sacks in his first two preseason games is bad news. I mean, he's going to come in confident. You know, when he gets up there and he celebrates and he gets the helmet slaps from all the other members of the defensive line, that's awesome. You love to see that. So I'm pumped for Barnett, man.
And last thing we are going to touch on, man, we have got a quarterback controversy in Philly like we've never seen before. This is McNabb, Cobb, Foles, and whoever else all over again. It's, what is it, Matt McGloin, or is it Mike McGloin? I can never remember.
It's Matt McGloin.
Do I even care? No. Matt McGloin, 12 for 20, 131 yards, had a pick. Dane Evans, 9 for 12, 92 yards, and a pick. How do you feel about that?
Matt McGloin, first two preseason games, nothing to get excited about. I'm not going to indict the guy. He's obviously meant to be a third-string quarterback. It's not terribly impressive. But I will say that watching Dane Evans, of course, undrafted out of Tulsa, watching him come in, he throws, and I said this, he throws with anticipation, and the ball comes out with a little bit of mustard. Mm. It comes out on time, and it arrives at its place on time. His pick hit Marcus Johnson right in the hands, and then the corner just took it away from Marcus Johnson, right? He showed the ability to run the offense, and they ran a lot college-y-looking stuff with Dane Evans, a lot more run-pass option, sort of one-read, half-field read sort of situations, because if you watch Dane Evans, you take away his first read, his feet in the pocket look ridiculous. He panics. He starts running around. You know, he can't really go through progressions like that. But I will say, yeah, him slinging the football, it was fun to watch. My favorite part was how fervently the timeline was positive that he needed to be quarterback three. That's how you know we're in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. But hey, it's fun, you know.
Hey, he let him hang on that throw in that window with the three defenders around. So I was a fan of that, man. You get into a preseason game, I'm tired of these quarterbacks that are going to be at the bottom of the depth chart, checking down and doing all this stuff. Man, let it rip. Just like I say with the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. when you get to the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Game and whatnot, no one's gonna knock you for trying to push the ball downfield and make a play. I mean, if it's just an ugly looking ball and you can't throw it, then that's one thing. But you know, if you're just trying, if you're ripping it in there trying to make a play, man, go for it, dude. Let me see what you got. Let me see what that arm's got, man. Let me see what that sexy arm's got.
That's right. He fired a shot into to Greg Ward there on a third down. That was beautiful. Of course, only mentioning Greg Ward because that's the brand right there. That's the deepest part of my brand. That's UDFA brand right there. So if Greg Ward does anything, I'll claim full credit for that. And then he hung one up there for Shelton Gibson, man, in the red zone. He got the DPI call. It was definitely underthrown. It's not, you know, it's very easy to underthrow Shelton Gibson. But no, Dane Evans came out slinging for a roster spot. You got to respect that.
Overall impressions, anything else you got for tonight, Ben, or for today since we're recording tonight, Thursday night?
Nice, Mike. Oh, I'm just excited for that defense. I'm just pumped. I mean, watching, you know, those first team reps where Tyrod Taylor had maybe enough to get to the second read occasionally, but the pocket was collapsing on at least one side every time he dropped back 3-5 steps. Just watching the pressure that can be generated either with Schwartz sending a blitz or with the front 14 off, man, you can see how that can be very disruptive. And if Darby pans out, which obviously we had great signs tonight, this is a dangerous defense. It's a defense that can match up with anybody, with any offense. So I love pass rushers, and man, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, a week ago, we thought we were going to get absolutely shredded by every single receiving threat that we came across, and it was like the focus of all of my previews. Like, look at their wide receivers. How are we going to cover that? Well, now we have a little bit of hope. And you should be excited about that as a fan base. And Odell Beckham is not going to torch us as bad as he would at the very least with Darby in there. Same thing with Terrell Pryor. We can at least hang in there a little bit, give our pass rushers a chance. So that's a good thing. Ben, thank you so much. Remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.